Coming up on Stuck in Beta, we're pouring logboats, high tide wheat ale, and traveling back 40 years to talk about the summer movies of 1986.
I'm actively trying to complain less and hoping to finally finish rewiring this old rental house.
While I switch to running in the morning so I don't sweat my butt off.
We're also snacking on BTS Oreos, whatever those are, talking the NBA Finals and discussing the Masters of the Universe movie and House of Dragon.
It all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome to Stuck in Beta. I'm Greg.
Hey Greg, I'm Josh, and I'm feeling a bit naked today. Because I don't have any pants on.
I know. I'm like, what the heck are you doing here? I mean, it is a little hot out.
It's a little stuffy, so I had to air things out a little bit. No, I don't know what I was thinking. I was so excited to bring these new Oreos over that I was so focused on making sure that I bring those that I forgot my laptop and my headphones for some reason. So anyway, I'm slightly naked today.
Really failed.
Yep.
Well, let's change that. Well, I wasn't going to get you any headphones, but we can have a beer.
Excellent segue.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So this week, so it's funny. I don't think we've ever tried this one. It's from Logboat Brewing Company. That's Columbia, right?
Correct.
Columbia, Missouri. And this is an American wheat with orange zest. I think it's one of their like year-round beers or whatever, but it just seemed like a nice summery style beer to drink.
Yeah, sounds good.
It says here, High Tide is an American wheat brewed with Citra hops, additions of bitter orange peel and Valencia oranges zest. Oh, Valencia orange zest give it an extra burst of bright orange flavor. It's light-bodied, zesty, and extremely easy to drink. Crafted as an American wheat, utilizing Citra hops, High Tide features a vibrant profile thanks to the inclusion of Valencia orange zest and bitter orange peel. This brew is characterized by its light body and zesty notes, offering a clean finish that makes it remarkably refreshing. Man, that's a lot. That's sometimes when these beer companies give a description of their beer, it'll be like wheat beer brewed with orange peel, and
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
You know, this one, they've given it like the novel treatment.
Yeah, a lot of description, but great job pouring and reading at the same time.
I tried. I got a lot, well, more than I'd like, but
I mean, it looks really good. It's had a good head on it, and it's fading pretty quickly. It's soapy looking, smells good. Reminds me of something. Sorry, yeah. Greg's ready to chug, and I'm trying to, like, give
You're
some...
You're still sniffing.
reminds me of Shock Top.
Yeah.
The aroma.
Yeah, somewhat, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's probably along that way. Shock Top, I guess, is an ale versus a wheat. But
yeah,
it's still probably in that category, but it's good.
Yeah. Not bad at all. This is a good one that I could add to the my favorites. One of my favorite beers is from Logboat. It's the, I just forgot it again.
Mammoth?
No.
Snapper?
Snapper, yeah. Wait, no, that's the IPA. It's the yellow can one. Man, I'm so bad with Logboat's names that I need to get better at that, so I can give them that.
Lookout.
That's just a pale ale.
Pale ale.
Yeah. They have some great beers there.
Mammoth is what I was thinking of, not mammoth.
And that's a brown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have some great beers there. Lori really loves the what's that one called? The black one?
Dark Matter.
Yeah. She loves that one. Great brewery.
So I really kind of wanted one of their seasonal because, you know, I'd like to get something that's a little more seasonal than it. I mean, it really is seasonal, but didn't have any in stock where I went. So I think Rocket Shark may be there. No, that's a different series. Anyway, beer. This is very good.
Yeah.
I think this is not like we drink a lot of craft beer and all that. This is very approachable by anyone.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
It's very much like the crossover between your average American light beer to Shock Top, to Blue Moon, you know, that type. Pretty refreshing and really good.
Yeah, good for this time of year. Yes. I'd give it an A.
I agree. I like this. Good times.
Before we move on away from beer, I was going to tell you that I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we were talking a little bit about Bud Light Lime.
Yeah.
And I was telling Lori about it. And I'm like, you know what? I'd like to have some. I want to try it and see, you know, how is it good? Is it going to taste different than I remember it? So she bought a 6-pack of it last weekend, and we had one. And I like the first sip of it was really seemed pretty good. It was like light and refreshing. Uh-huh. But then it had like that Bud Light aftertaste.
Oh.
Which I was surprised about. I don't think we really, I know I haven't really drank that since we really had the full migration into craft beer. It's so it's been probably at least
15 to 20 years.
In fact, I didn't even know if they were still making it.
Yeah. But I don't, it may just be seasonal now. I don't know.
Oh yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it was,
well,
it's okay.
Has she tried that garage beer? Have you gotten that for her?
No, but I did tell her. I said, I think that garage beer is better than the Bud Light Lime.
Because that comes in a 12-pack, and it's pretty inexpensive at Schnucks.
Yeah.
Actually, when I looked today, they didn't have any, so
yeah.
I don't know.
That one's good. The BLL, it's okay. I mean...
More of a nostalgia summertime thing at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we still have four more. I've considered bringing one over to, or two over to try. And maybe we can still do that and get your thoughts on it and see if it's.
I mean, one of my first, long ago, let's see.
Did we ever do it on Beer 30?
No, this was a Half-Ass Productions post that I made back May 1st, 2008.
Oh, man. It has been almost 20 years.
Yeah. This is when it first came out.
So you wrote a blog post on it?
Yeah. coming May. Yeah. It came out May of 2008.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah. 15 years since I had it last might be a stretch, but it's probably. So when did we start Beer 30? It's been almost 15 years, hasn't it? And it probably took Lori a little while to fully gravitate towards other things.
I don't know how long ago that was.
I thought it was about 15 years ago, maybe more.
Probably something like that. Do we have a oldest?
If you go to the about section on there, doesn't it?
13 years ago.
Is the oldest?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Me and Bauman were.
Yeah. You were the first, three or four videos?
It became kind of. Yeah, I think we shot three videos together, and they're all Urban Chestnut. Oh, no, Schlafly Summer Lager was the first one we did.
That's a good beer.
Yeah. So it's funny because I think we Bauman and I started it, and then it was like, oh, he couldn't make it this week, so you came over, and then it started being more regular with you, and then
he joined. He continued to join
from time to time, but, you know.
Well, the Stuck in Beta podcast started in 2016, and it was the very first episode. I was like, I can't make it this week. Can we wait till next week? And you guys were like, no, we got to start today. And it was just you two. And you were talking about how you were going to have another host or whatever. And you're like, well, he's busy tonight. He couldn't make it. So I joined a second show.
The show must go on, man. It must go on. That's showbiz.
That's funny. Yep. Anyway,
so
what have you been up to?
Well, I've continued my running. As I told you in past couple episodes, I had to switch to morning time.
Yeah.
Because
of the heat.
It has been so miserable. We actually had a cooler date today, mm-hmm. but it's still hot out there. But man, when you just walk outside and you just get drenched in a sweat without really doing any movement or anything, you're not going to be able to run in that. And the funny thing is, I guess that has sound on or something.
I guess, yeah.
There's a change it. On the bottom or on the side is the volume control.
There it goes.
So the humidity is actually higher in the morning,
mm-hmm.
but the temperature is lower. So it's kind of you trade one for the other.
That's
Why
true.
Is the notification
I don't
still
know.
Going?
Why are you getting so many texts?
That's
or is that,
not me. That's using Molly's iPad.
Something wrong. I've turned it all the way down. Yeah, that is true. And today was an example of that where this morning it was like the temperature was lower, but the humidity was, I think it was like 85 or 90% whenever I looked at it, you know, at like 6 a.m. But then it was supposed to trend down all day. And now it's actually relatively comfortable outside. It's in the low 80s with like 50% humidity.
Yeah, this morning was nice running because I think it had just, it was like about 68, 69. It hadn't even really hit, you know, the sun, it was out, but it was nice running through that.
We took a walk this morning.
And I got my best time too. And I'm like, I wonder if it has to do with early morning, the weather. Cause I've been listening to podcasts a lot lately, but today I switched it up to music while running. So I'm like, well, did it have a little bit to do with that too?
I feel like some of the worst running I ever did was when I tried to listen to podcasts. Whenever I would do music, it was a totally different experience.
I think I always heard you try to keep the beat with and a lot of what I listen to is generally faster.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, you listen to hip hop or rap or something, and then you're kind of on a more steady rhythm, I guess. But I hit my highest that since I started. I was 9 minutes and 19 seconds a mile. So
not bad. Yeah, we should sign up for a 5K.
Yeah.
Should look for those and see what's available for over the summer. So in the spirit of self-improvement, and the weather, to continue that conversation. Earlier this week, I was like getting, I don't know, I was just becoming crabby old man and complaining about the weather. And because with this, I knew this heat wave was coming and it was like high humidity. And I was like, God, why does it have to be this way in early June?
Yeah.
I hate this. I'm so sick of living here. And I just like, I don't know. I had a moment of like self-reflection where I was like, oh, I don't like either the thoughts or the words that are coming out of my mouth. Cause I was like venting to Lori about it. And she wasn't really like, it wasn't like she was saying, shut up, you're complaining or whatever. It just felt like, I was like, man, I sound like a jerk. Like, I'm just complaining. So it gave me like a, I don't know. The thought didn't leave me like the rest of that day. So I kept thinking about like, I need to change this. Cause I noticed too that I'd been complaining about certain people in my life and other aspects of whatever might be going on in the world or whatever. And everything's completely out of my control.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, there's like my conversations became complaining instead of just like
things setting you off too easy.
No, I wouldn't say I was getting like angry, but I was just, I was focusing on the negative as opposed to focusing on the positive. So I started down like kind of a little bit of a rabbit hole of like YouTube therapy. And I mean, like in the legitimate sense of trying to watch like self-help, like therapists and stuff, like cognitive behavioral therapy. And then I noticed something that I never really thought of before. And I think you've talked about this too, but I didn't know the word for it before. But I wouldn't say that I'm a worrier where I'm like, oh, what if this happens? I hope this doesn't happen. I hope he does this. And I don't worry, but I think about things a lot. And it's called ruminating. Hmm. And I'll like replay a conversation in my head and I'm like, why did I say that? Or I'll say like, if I'm talking to one of my kids, oh, I should have said it that way, or I should have tried this, or I should have added that point, or like I'm replaying the conversation in my head.
But don't we all have that? I mean,
yeah, but it gets to the point, I know for me, where I'll like wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's not even like conversations. It's just like things that I'm doing, like I'm working on this house and I'm doing all this electrical work to it. And it's something new to me and I'm like excited about it. It's not a bad thing. I'm enjoying it, but I'm constantly thinking, oh, I need to do this. Oh, wait, before I do that, I need to do this. Oh, I need to make sure I remember that.
Then you can't remember your headphones and laptop.
Yeah. And so it's either like clouding my memory of trying to make sure that I'm doing just the basic things that I need to do, or I end up forgetting about it anyway. Because I'm thinking about it in the middle of the night, so it's like I'm not like writing it down,
right?
And it's not like impairing me to the point where it's setting me back like a day or a week or whatever. It's just like trivial little things where I'm like, oh, I got to go to Lowe's and I probably should take this back and go get that other one. But I think about those kind of things like constantly to the point where it's like kind of like wasted energy, I think. And so there is there's worrying, there's ruminating, and then there's like dwelling, like you dwell on the same thing like way too much. Like, I mean, even a good thing you can call, like if you're looking forward to a vacation and that's like consuming your thoughts the point, like that's a form of dwelling. It could be a good thing, but you don't need to like waste all your mental energy on that. There's other things in life to, you know, pay attention to. And so that's just something that I've noticed this week, and I'm really trying to work on it. And I've noticed that sometimes, like Lori and I, will just be like out on our morning walk, and we're just exchanging complaints about people or things that are going on in town, or the way somebody's driving, or whatever that we're seeing, and it's like we're not even having a conversation with each other. We're just exchanging things about, you know, complaints about the world around us.
Have you ever seen the Holderness video of them just walking around? I forgot what, you know, it's always some parody song or something. Yeah. It's them going around and they're like, oh, look at them. They just got that new car. What is that? They just built that over there. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that. They start complaining about everyone in their neighborhood.
That's another one. I know you were doing that a couple weeks ago with the Christmas lights down the street, but I'm the same way. Like we were like, oh man, I wish they would move their car. Like God, why is he leaving his truck there all these days? And I'm like, why is it bothering me? Like it's so stupid. It's not even really doing anything to like, it's just something that I'm just becoming like, I don't want to be that old man that's just like, get off my lawn.
Yeah. You get there, though.
I'm working on it.
I do have the thing, like you were saying, where you wake up. And I have that problem where I can't shut off my brain at night. Like, usually, I don't have a big problem falling asleep. But if I wake up, then I try to get back to sleep, but then whatever thought it goes, I'm thinking about it, and whether it's something I'm working on for work or whether it's something I'm building, you know, the stupidest thing or whatever. And I can't stop thinking, you know, and then I get to the point where I'll grab my phone and just do something to get my mind in another direction. Then I get, I don't know. It's a endless cycle of.
There is a endless amount of techniques and things that you can do to get your mind off of that kind of thing. Like one of them that is just so simple is to just tell yourself, "Hey, I'm just having this thought, and I'm gonna figure it out tomorrow." Like basically, you telling your brain, "Hey, I'm not gonna worry about this right now."
Stop it.
Yeah. There's another one that I saw today that I'd never heard of before. It was called the 5-4-3-2-1, and it was like, I'm going to get them wrong and out of order, but it was like, focus on five things you can see. And this might not work in the middle of the night, obviously, but what are five things you can see? What are four things you can hear? What are three things you can touch? So it's essentially like distracting you.
Essentially counting sheep.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last one was like, what is one thing you can smell? So, but, yeah. I don't know. Just a couple of things that I'm working on is I don't want to be a crabby old man. I've been joked with, you know, people have kind of joked with me like, you're really sounding like a grandpa.
Oh, that's Molly will say that to me too. But then get her in a car and
yeah, I know.
And I'm like, well, look at you. You're complaining about everyone on the road. And you shut up.
Yeah, you don't want to throw stones.
You shut up. So yeah.
Yep. Well, hey, have you been following the NBA finals at all?
So, the thing is, like, you know, where we live, we don't have an NBA team. So the NBA was something foreign to me because we never had a team. I never had someone to watch. I mean, I guess I was a fan of Michael Jordan back in the day because everyone was. And, you know, but I am aware, and I do know the probably more because a guy I work with, he's originally from San Antonio.
Okay.
And he's a huge Spurs fan. I mean, every year he talks about the Spurs, but, you know, I think he said 99. That would have been David Robinson years.
Yeah.
That was the last time. In Madison Square Garden is where they won it last time.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they're up against a hard road here because they're down 3-1 now.
That game,
game 4.
What were they up by? 26?
They were up by 29.
29
in the third quarter.
Whew!
And came back, and the Knicks came back to win.
That, I mean, I didn't watch. I literally turned on the TV and saw like the last 2 seconds of the game. That's all I saw. I didn't even see the shot that put the Knicks over
the attempt.
Yeah. It was like
the tip in.
I didn't. Yeah, I saw the replays of all that, but I didn't see that part. And but if I mean, I didn't talk to David at work about it because I'm sure he was very upset.
That would be a killer. So I really haven't followed the NBA at all. I couldn't tell you who was in the finals last year, but the only reason this year because I mean I still watch like Jon Stewart's monologue.
All the people are in New York, so
that too. Yeah. Well, and the celebrities are big Knicks fans. So I saw like Adam Sandler, Jerry Seinfeld,
Larry David.
I think even
Spike Lee's always there. Yeah. Tracy Morgan's always there.
Yeah. But anyway, I was watching the highlights. I had no idea what had happened in game 4, and I just watched the YouTube highlights reel, and I'm like, dang, like Spurs are up big time in the first quarter. And then it just like grew and grew. And I'm like, holy crap, this is a 30-point lead. Like, has that even happened in the playoffs before? And then it starts shrinking, going the other way. And they're like, oh, man, they've cut this lead in half. They're down by 14. And then
it just keeps going. That's crazy.
It was so crazy. But the other reason that I've been kind of interested in it is because I heard of the Spurs player. I'm going to get his name wrong, but it's like Victor Wembanyama.
Is that the really, really tall guy?
Yeah, he's 7 foot four.
Have you seen the report?
Yes.
It's funny.
Yeah, because she's like 5 feet tall or something.
Because she's holding the mic up.
Straight up.
And all you see is like her hand and the mic.
Yeah. And he's looking down at her like he's looking at a kid. It's so funny. But he is not like you. I remember some of the really tall players like Manute Bol and I can't think of another like Dominique. Not Dominique, but some of those guys that were like 7 feet tall were like so awkward looking. Like they looked like a giraffe or something, you know, with how skinny they were. But this kid doesn't look like that.
How tall was Shaquille O'Neal?
I think he was like 7'1".
Yeah. I mean, he's built, though. He was never just, like, say, giraffe looking.
Yeah. Huh. But, I don't know. That was so crazy, that game 4. And I don't know. It would be interesting to see if the Spurs can come back from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anyone in the fight.
I don't either. The only reason why I turned it on was because You know, all these talk show hosts were talking about the Knicks, and they were all excited about it, and that's kind of why I started watching the YouTube clips of the highlights.
But yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I was gonna talk to you about, or mention to you, I don't know if you, and this could be controversial, but have you looked into or heard about the Trump accounts for kids?
No.
So this came out of the One Big Beautiful Bill. It's essentially like an IRA that you can start for your kids.
Oh, yeah. But they have to be born after a certain... Because that was on the taxes, I thought.
Well, it goes into effect on July 4th of this year, so in a couple weeks. But you can get a $1,000 credit if they were born between 2025 and 2028. But anybody under, or any kid under the age of 18 can start it, or a parent can start it for them.
Right.
But I listened to a podcast on the way over, and I can share it with you. It was pretty quick. It was like 30 minutes. But he really goes into depth of like, would this be a good opportunity for your kid? Why or why not? And I don't know if you have 529s for the kids for like college savings.
No. We do have savings accounts for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're just general bank. Like savings accounts.
Okay.
I don't know if there are any. I don't know. Molly may have it as that.
So this would be a.
Molly's handles the a lot of the money over me.
Yeah. This, I mean, it's worth looking into and thinking about, because a couple of cool things about it is that you can set it up and it can grow. It's basically you're funding it into, it's like investing into the stock market, like a mutual fund or an ETF into the S&P 500 or something similar, and those historically grow at about 7% a year. So if you did like the math on it and looked at the compound interest, it can grow pretty substantially in the short duration of a kid's life, and then they can transfer over to a regular traditional IRA where it can be a retirement account, or they can roll it into other accounts where they can potentially like pay less taxes on it as they become adults. Or, which the other thing that I thought was interesting and might be valuable, like for your kids or any kids really, is that you can access it penalty free for things like education and first time home buyer, and then like a medical related expense or something.
Oh, that's
like that.
Interesting.
So, like, if you, the guy give that you can the maximum amount you can invest into it is $5,000 a year. But I mean, even if you put in $500. And how old is Millie? She's like 9.
Millie's 8.
8. So over the next, I don't know, when would she potentially get her own house? Maybe like 25 or somewhere in that range, 25 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you were putting in a certain amount of money every year and then that's compounding and growing, then she could tap into it as a down payment or even, you know, potentially a...
So if you use that, could you still use your first time... homeowner credit that you get when you buy a house?
I think so. I think so. I'm not.
Now that would be that'd be nice, because you'd be able to use that and.
Yeah, because this would just be like using money, like.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing is, for like, if they wanted to go to college, you could tap into it and use it as to support college funds and stuff like that too. So.
Right.
And then Peter, what is he? Is he 5 or 6?
He's 5.
So, I mean, he's got even
more
years. But, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. So, it works, like you said, similar to like a mutual fund or something like
that. Yeah, it's like an IRA for kids, which didn't exist before, because the only ways you could save for kids historically, well, you could have like a bank savings account, but investing, I guess, the only way you could invest for a kid was through a 529 for college, or through if they had some kind of income, they could start a Roth IRA. But most kids don't have any kind of income. But like a kid that might do like some kind of stuffing envelopes for their parent, or I don't know, maybe even like cutting grass, or like they have some kind of like earned income, you can invest a certain portion of that into a Roth IRA. But a lot of kids don't have that until like 16.
My dad had mutual funds for us, and we were invested in that, but I don't know if it was one of those things where it was under his name until we turned 18 or something.
Yeah,
like
might
that
have been.
That's the only thing I could think, because it was in my name once I had access to it. But there's no, like you said, unless there's a medical reason, there was no reason till I turned 18 to have any access to it.
Didn't you? I remember way back whenever we were younger. Didn't your grandma have something for you too? Some kind of bonds,
that was the savings bonds.
Yeah,
they would give me those every year.
Like, yeah, and you're like, wow, this is exciting.
I know, it didn't mean anything then, but the problem was, I think it's like 30 years or something for them
full
to...
Full maturity.
And I was a dumb kid, and I think I had them maxed out by the time... Or not maxed out, but I had already had them all spent by the time I was like... 20 or something like that. Yeah.
How did you access them? Like, did you just go to the bank?
Well,
and say,
I mean, after I was 18, you know, that.
But I mean, that was easy enough that they
were
just,
they were in a savings, safety deposit box at the bank. And mom's like, well, these are yours. So, you know. And I think one grandma every birthday gave me like 50. I think both grandmas gave me 50 every birthday. And I don't even know how, I've never bought savings bonds, but is that the price they pay for it, or is it less?
I don't really know how they work anymore, but I think that once upon a time, they were considered a really good investment tool.
Yeah.
And they paid a really good interest or dividend or whatever, but I think that's gone down significantly. And I'm kind of interested, like, when yours, so if it was $50, did you just get that $50? You didn't get like any kind of growth or anything like that?
Some had growth. Obviously some were older than others, and some were like, well, it's only worth this. It was a $50 one. It's worth $52 or something, you know. Others that had been around a while may have been, oh, this one's 85 or, you know. So that was dumb. I should have held on to them.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, you might not have known like the full. No. Like, felt the full, like, hey, if you'd waited another until you're, what would that have been? Like maybe around 30, 35? Full maturity, they could have been.
Well,
like,
I mean, it was every birthday. So, I mean, one of them would have been full maturity like this year probably. Like, oh, yeah. If I got them till I was 18 every year. But funny thing is, my folks, good investors, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't pass that along to me. Like, they didn't, like, hey, do the, you know, they didn't pass the information along, you know.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, but, you know, probably I wasn't old enough to really listen either.
Yeah, but I'll share that episode with you. I think it's worth listening to, and you can just maybe decide if you wanted to set something like that up for your kids. I don't see any downside to it other than if you don't like the name on it.
I mean,
but
in the grand scheme of things, does it matter? You know,
yeah, in the world of personal, or in, yeah, really in the world of whatever investment vehicles are available in the United States, like, if, as long as you know how to play the game, like,
right.
It,
who cares?
Yeah. So. So. Yeah, well, should we have a snack?
Sure. Let me do this. Cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts, lilac, pecans too. So, what do you got for us today?
You're going to have to help me out here and fill me in, because I don't really know what BTS is. I think it's like a...
It's a boy band.
Japanese boy band or Korea or something? I don't know.
I put BTS. It just says boy band. Okay. It is. Are they K-pop? Korean band. Okay. BTS, also known as the Bangtan Boys, is a South Korean boy band formed in 2010. And it tells...
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Well... Lori found these for us, and she said we should try them on the podcast. So these are from Oreo. They're just called Oreo BTS, brown sugar pancake flavored brown sugar pancake flavored cream. And the cookie is purple, And on the back here, it says, straight from Soul Street Markets to fans, a limited edition Oreo cookie inspired by Hatyok, BTS's favorite snack. So
it's a some Korean snack, I'm assuming.
I assume so. So let's try them out.
I was going to say, why? And it's purple, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is there, like, on their pictures and stuff, is there really, like, is a lot of stuff purple?
No.
Man, and they smell like, it smells like a candle to me.
Oh. Yeah, it does. It's, I mean, a candle that smells like pancake and syrup, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, Dear BTS Army on it. Okay. Oh, they each have a different saying?
Mm-hmm. The icing, it almost has a little bit of a crunchiness to it.
Yeah, it's got like crackle. Crystals, yeah.
It's okay. Not my favorite Oreo we've had.
I don't know. I like these.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So the sugar, it says 12 grams of added sugar. Like, holy don't crap. You think that could be cut in half? Like, why do they have to be so sweet?
They are very sweet, but brown sugar,
pancake. That's probably, it's the brown sugar that's probably a little, like, crystally.
Yeah, it's that molasses. These are, in my opinion, these are very tasty, but they are sweet. Oh, my gosh. 12 grams of added sugar, 100, oh, per two Oreos. So I can eat two of these.
Yeah, go ahead.
BTS loves Oreo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they that big of a band still at this, you know?
I don't know. It does seem like kind of a strange collaboration.
Yeah.
I don't know. With a lot of these, I feel like they could cut the sugar in half and it'd still probably taste good.
Now, I don't... Is the cookie taste any different? Is it chocolate? Is it...
Oh, that's a good question.
I can't...
I didn't even untwist. Maybe I'll have to go for a third one.
See, the cookie just tastes like a sugar cookie.
Oh. Yeah, cookie's not bad. It's not like an Oreo.
It's not a chocolate. It's not a vanilla.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't mind the cookie itself. But the cream is...
You don't like the cream?
Yeah, it's a bit strong.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
BTS cookies. Look, I like them, but... Whew, man, they are sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Lori.
Yeah, thanks for getting those,
Lori. I can leave some for you, for your kids. Or
oh, maybe. Then, I mean, we like them bouncing off the walls.
So getting another beer here, and the reason why I said let's split it, because I don't know what it is, Greg, but I feel like I'm growing like a sensitivity to either beer or alcohol. I don't know which one it is, but we were at Central Tap last week together doing the show, and we had two that day, and man, my belly was doing some weird things later that day.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know what we had, the sours. Yeah. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, or if it was the popcorn, which we only had like...
The pop? Oh, yeah, we did have... Yeah, I forgot about that.
We only had like, I don't know, six or eight pieces each, but... I mean, the high-sugar Oreos with the beer, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, this... it really... Well, you know how... When I remember this as a kid, you'd go to like a buffet or whatever, and you'd be drinking soda because it was all you could drink, all that stuff. And then So the soda would taste just fine. But then when you get into the ice cream bar or whatever, you eat that. And then when you drink the soda, it would taste funny because you had like that sugar on your tongue or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting drinking beer now. Mm. It's kind of got a different taste than.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. This is a really cool can, though. From Four Hands, the contact high.
Yeah, the pinball looking thing.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. This is a good beer.
Yeah, I like this beer.
So does this one have the CBD in it?
I don't know.
Oh.
I know we read it did. So I don't know if like grocery stores would be able to carry that.
Oh.
It may need to come, but the brewery did. I have no idea what that is.
Hmm.
There's no mention of it on the can.
Yeah. Well, did you try scanning?
I didn't.
We can try that later. Yeah. It has a QR code on there for more information.
That's where it tells you this stuff.
Yeah.
So, Josh.
Yes, Greg?
I saw it. I saw Masters of the Universe.
Wow. It's already out.
Yeah, that came out last week. I took Peter with me.
Mm-hmm.
We both loved it.
Really?
We both loved it. Oh, my gosh. It is... growing up, that was my... I've said this many times before. It was my favorite, I guess, cartoon and toy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, brought to life. They stuck with... all the lore like that you knew or whatever. I mean, I guess some of that was changed or whatever with later iterations of the cartoon, but they stuck with it. They kept it with the goofiness, the silliness, like Skeletor and his laughing or whatever. And so like he would call the your boobs or whatever. Jared Leto, which I think is terrible in everything he does, was great in this movie.
And he was Skeletor?
He was Skeletor. Hmm. Idris Elba played Man-at-Arms. He was great. I mean, it was just a great cast. I really enjoyed it. They played it a little different where he was sent away from Eternia, and he went to Earth, and he had to get back to Eternia.
Okay.
But it, I don't know, I just had a smile on my face. Peter, I looked over at him the first time he turns into He-Man, you know, holds his sword, I have the power and all that.
Yeah.
I look over at Peter, he's like, oh, wow, he's looking at the screen, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And it just like when your kids start like something that you like too, that's just a good feeling.
Yep.
And he's asking me all about He-Man and stuff now. I wouldn't get my very old He-Man guys, but I had some that era where we had where we found
the McDonald's
stuff. Happy Meal.
Yeah.
So they had figures out in 2002 or whatever, which I got them and displayed them. I never played with them or anything, but I'm like, you could play with these.
Yeah,
they're probably worth a fortune.
Yeah. Didn't we look those up and they weren't really worth that much?
Oh, well, I know that the older ones. The problem is if you play like they got the dry rot and the rubber bands and stuff. Yeah. So if you play with them, legs will break off and stuff. So I'm like, don't play with those.
These are just to look at. Don't touch.
But he was playing with those, and I've got a couple books that he's like, he was looking at, and on the back it had talked about She-Ra, and he's like, well, what is this? And so I'm like, I actually have that book, too. It's in Millie's room.
Huh.
And so he wants to know that. So,
what was She-Ra's connection to He-Man? I don't remember.
She was his twin sister.
Oh,
she was sent away when she was a baby, or I think Hordak stole her and took her.
Was that a part of the original story, or did it like it added so, later?
Remember how they had the He-Man, the Filmation cartoon, yeah. then they made the She-Ra one, but they had like a movie in between. Mm. It was an animated movie in between that told that story.
Oh, it brought them both together.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Good times. I really enjoyed it. I do recommend it. I hate that it's not doing very well. It's getting great reviews by people.
Hmm.
People are saying, you know, it's brought back nostalgia and it's fun. It's not like dark and you know. I mean, there are, don't get me wrong, there's some adult jokes in there that'll just go over the kid's head. And that kind of reminds me, did you ever see the Barbie movie?
Yeah.
It kind of, I wouldn't say quite like that, because Barbie didn't really have any sort of story to begin with. It was just a doll, you know? Yeah. But, eh.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because Lori has our two nephews today. And she was like, what should we do with it? What, you know, she took him to the splash pad at the park. I think she's there now, or she might be finished. But I was like, well, what about a movie? And she's like, I thought about that. And she looked up and she's like, I don't see anything playing that they would be interested in. I don't know if she didn't see that or if that didn't appeal to her. But
my nephew Logan, I mean, he's a lot older, but he's like, I don't know what that is, you know? So
really,
and he's 20. So
yeah. Maybe, well, I mean, Lori would know what He-Man is. What's it called? What's the title?
Masters of the Universe.
Maybe she didn't recognize that, but I guess I could run it by her and see if she'd be interested in taking them to see it this evening, because we're going to have them until, like...
How old are they?
5 and, like, 8? Like, Millie and you're...
Yeah.
But they're boys, you know, both boys.
I mean, Peter knew a little bit about it, because I showed him the cartoons, but I don't think you really need to know anything. It tells the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see what she wants to do with them this evening. Maybe we'll go see it.
Yeah.
What else you watching?
I've been watching a lot this week, apparently.
I see that.
I forgot to talk about this last week, I only watched a couple episodes, but I wondered if you got a chance to watch any of it. It's called This is a Gardening Show.
No, that's Zach Galifianakis, right?
It's Zach Galifianakis, but it's funny, like he can do, but it's also a real gardening show. Like,
yeah.
There was a whole, I think it's a first episode actually on apples, and it tells, you know, he goes to an apple orchard, and this woman this is something I never knew, and I don't know if a lot of people know. If you have an apple, and you know it's got seeds, if you plant that seed, it'll grow, and it'll grow into a tree, and apples will form, but not the same apple. So it'll be like little, essentially like crab apples.
Really?
And if you want to grow another tree, you have to, I forgot what it was called. Essentially, you take a branch from the apple tree, and you grafting.
Yeah.
You have to graft it, and you graft it to another tree. I don't think it even matters what tree. You tape it together, you keep that watered, and it'll root out there, and then you plant that part. It's very interesting. Like, I never knew that. And so if you ever want an apple tree, you gotta just next time you're in an orchard, just cut off a little.
I've seen him in interviews talking about like the land that he lives in, a kind of a weird spot, like Vancouver or something, right?
I don't know if they go into where he is actually, but
because I've seen him in interviews talking about being into this kind of stuff, and I think he does some of this stuff on his own land. He has a farm,
right?
And it's in Canada, I think, which is kind of strange. But he does a lot of, I guess, other kind of vegetable farming and things like that.
But he went, because I watched two episodes. One was about apples, and the next was about tomatoes, and showed like their tomato, you know. But it got me thinking about Paul James.
Yeah, the Gardner guy.
That was the end of an era. Like, there is there is none of that. You go to YouTube, you can find it.
But yeah, it's not great quality, though.
The HGTV channel went another route. He even talks about, if you look up, there is an interview on YouTube maybe a couple months ago. It's a YouTube gardener. Apparently, I guess maybe he's pretty good, but he became a friend with Paul James, and he brought him on his show, and he kind of interviewed him and asked him questions.
He's got to be pretty old now, right?
Yeah.
Probably like 80 or something. But
I don't know.
So by era, you mean like as far as...
was this it? I think this was it. It was 3 months ago. Sprout. Sprout Gardening Channel.
He doesn't look that old.
Yeah.
He looks about the same as I remember.
Yeah, he does. He's got... grayer hair, but
yeah, I always liked him. He was such a well spoken guy. He was a pro for sure, and it was all like his own home, which was like only 3 acres.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, I think it was.
Yeah, which is not the most the picture like desert kind of land.
Yeah, no, it actually gave us for watching him. I think our weather was fairly similar to what happened. I mean, Midwest in general, it was a good, but if you check out the Sprout Gardening Channel and find that other, it's really interesting. Yeah, I watched that. It was like 25 minutes long.
I think your brother actually got me interested in Paul James. He used to watch him all the time.
Yeah, it was
back in the day.
Like every Saturday morning or something. Yeah.
That was a good show. They did have for a while, and I don't know if they still do or not, on HGTV, they had the landscaping shows, which I would say that was kind of like gardening / landscaping, because it would go into some of the building, like beds and things like that. And then some versions of that just kind of like went into more of like the hardscape landscaper type shows.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of any of them off the top of my head now, but there were some good ones of those for a little while. But now I think it's all house stuff.
House flipping and
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's weird how all those kind of just disappeared.
Yeah. But there are, you're right, there's some other gardener YouTubers that have done pretty well. And I like watching some of them that are like, they have very small yards, like almost nothing, and they're growing these lush, amazing gardens out of raised beds and pots and like random containers that they've been able to reclaim or recycle from something else. And it's just amazing what people can do. I don't have the patience for that, but I will say that I have about 4 to 6 tomatoes growing.
Any of my plants flowering?
No,
haven't either.
They've been slow. Like, I think this last week with the heat, it's made them shoot up another several inches. So, but they're not very big. They're only maybe like a foot tall.
Same with me. Some are big, some are smaller, but none of them have flowering on it yet. But my store-bought plants all have flowering, so it kind of pisses me off. I'm like, what did I do?
I wonder why that would be.
And I've talked to AI, because that's who I chat with, and I said, what the hell is going on here? And it's like, no, the seed plants sometimes take longer, so you're fine. There you go.
So are you still watching Game of Thrones? I don't see that on the list.
Okay, here's the thing. Molly wants to watch it too.
What? I was going to ask you about that last time, because Lori asked me if Molly was watching.
I'm going to have to start back. And,
oh, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So once I get her hooked, then... we wanted to finish. We had that Michael Jackson Netflix show, which we finished. It's funny, we watched that, which is about the verdict of him going to court over child molestation, which is, you know, it's a pretty horrible thing, and it's a 3-part thing. Then after that, we watched the Michael movie, which is about him It is a good movie. It's about him from the early days of Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes you up to around the Bad album. So it completely avoids any of the controversy.
Yeah.
And so I recommend that. That's a good movie. And I've been the other thing I've been watching is Widow's Bay, and I binge through it. It's literally it's an Apple TV show. It says comedy, but I'd say it's kind of a horror slash mystery slash comedy about this island that weird stuff happens, and this mayor who he's like doesn't believe any of this stuff. He thinks it's all nonsense, and then all the people there are crazy. He's trying to get people to visit it, like actually come and make their some money.
What network did you say it was?
Apple TV.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with that one.
So it, I like it, but you didn't even make it through the other show I liked on there. What was the one? You got like two episodes.
With Adam Scott.
Yeah, I love that show so much.
Shoot,
Severance.
Severance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lori hated it, and so we just discontinued it.
I love that show.
I always think of like maybe Molly.
She would never watch that show, though.
Well, I don't think. Well, going back to Game of Thrones, like I thought that she didn't care for like the violent stuff.
It depends. So she doesn't like torture.
I mean, there's some of that in Game of Thrones.
there's
a lot more worse coming too.
Yeah, I know, and I've seen some too, and it's like, well, I mean, I don't know.
So I'm kind of. I'm surprised. I'd be interested to hear her take on it.
Yeah.
Because some of that stuff's pretty gruesome. And they show a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. It's HBO, so they don't cut out.
Man, I wish you watched more of it. Because, what's his name? The Mandalorian. He's in it.
Yeah. I knew that, but I don't remember seeing him yet.
Yeah, it's like season 5 or 6.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, I'm looking forward to chatting about it whenever you start watching
it. It'll be a while. I got to get her to, because it's like I stopped. She said she was going to watch it. But then I'm like, okay, you want to watch? Well, we want to finish this first. Like, okay, well, tell me when and. Because I don't want to continue on and then have to watch it, you know.
I feel like I could almost rewatch it all right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, well, so we started watching House of the Dragon, which is it's kind of like a story supposedly like 200 years before. It's the House Targaryen.
Yeah.
Which is what you saw Daenerys.
Yeah, and, the white-haired.
Yeah, it's that family. And they were the king and all that. And we started watching it. I don't like any of the characters. Like, I really just can't get into, like, any of them. They're either not fun or funny or, you know, like, Game of Thrones has so many, like, awesome characters that were, like, so likable.
Right.
And I don't know. I just don't get that from this show. And season 3's, like, everything I've seen, people, like, love this show. The dragons are cool.
Right.
Which I don't know if you ever got to that part in Game of Thrones yet.
But I mean, they're little.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's dragons in this show, which they're cool and they do pretty neat things and they're like riding them and all that kind of thing. But kind of reminds me of Star Wars a little bit. Like the, is that the Phantom Menace? The one with, was it?
The pod races?
Pod racing. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that. Because they're like doing stuff and, you know, doing stunts or whatever. But anyway, I don't know. I feel like I'm watching it out of respect to Game of Thrones, but I'm not really all that into it. And we're just season 3 comes out like next week.
Hmm. Well,
and it jumps timelines. Like,
are you you caught up all the way with that?
No,
to watch.
We're only in season one.
Oh, are you doing that as fast as you were Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
are you like,
it's like our evening show that we watch together for like an hour.
Oh, okay. Because I know you were saying Game of Thrones, you were like, oh, let's watch another.
No, we're not that excited about it. We're like, we watch an episode, and then we're like, okay, well.
I mean, if it's not, yeah, I mean, it's hard to get through it if you're not, yeah.
Game of Thrones, we would end up like, shoot, we need to go to bed. It's like 10:30. We would be like, well, let's just watch one more. I can handle it. We can skip an hour of sleep.
I don't need that much sleep.
Yeah. So you have a pop culture item on
here.
I was
trying to find, because I didn't know if we'd have a lot of stuff to talk about, but we're already in. But
I don't know how far along we are. We need one of those timers up somewhere that tells us.
I think we're at least an hour.
Oh, of course.
Because that's how we go.
Hour and a half, usually.
So, pop culture. So this is, like I was saying on our episode topics list that I have, I put this is kind of a top five, you know, because I thought, what better way? It's summertime, you know. I told you He-Man just came out. I think The Mandalorian and Grogu came out. We have Toy Story 5 coming out. Uh-huh. Is that this weekend or next weekend? So there's a lot of big summer movies. I was thinking, what happened back in the 80s, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, this doesn't seem like that great of a year. Yes. Okay.
I mean, Top Gun was the number one grossing movie.
Number one grossing movie, Top Gun. Now, okay.
That movie is still, like, referenced, though, like, 40 years later.
There you go. I would say that, okay, I think that deserves, yeah, number one. But it's funny when you see the top gross at this time, because $129 million, that would be, like, right now. If your movie made $129 million, you'd say, oh, this is a failure.
Well, you know? Yeah. Inflation.
Inflation, obviously. Karate Kid Part 2 is number two. Do you remember that one? It's where he went to Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Wasn't it Hawaii?
No. I thought he went to... Yeah, he went to Japan.
Japan, that's right. Why did I think Hawaii? I don't know what I'm talking about.
And that movie is not that great.
If it is
the one that I'm thinking of, it's really not that good.
Now, the one thing I found interesting about that movie was that it ended immediately after Karate Kid 1, like after the championship.
Yep.
I don't know. Are there that many movies that that do that?
Well, I saw Friday the 13th on here on number 13. How about that?
That's some right. He does go to Japan. I don't know what I'm...
I think some of the Friday the 13th, maybe even the Nightmare on Elm Street, some of those kind of have that like immediate continuation, don't they?
I mean, Back to the Future 2, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
It's immediate.
Yep. Back to School, that was number three. Is that Rodney Dangerfield?
Now,
that's very impressive that a comedian, and he was old at the time.
I can't believe that is the top. So these are just summer movies of 86, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's put that into perspective. If it came out any other time in 86, it may have been better than this, but Back to School, I think it's a good movie, but it's so funny that cracked the top three.
Yeah, because I would have thought Aliens or Ferris Bueller's Day Off were definitely better movies and have definitely been,
Karate Kid 2, Back to School are both you would never hear those movies again.
Like referenced or anything?
Never. Yeah. You maybe back to school just because Dangerfield was such a huge comedian, but okay, number four was Aliens, like you said. Number five, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is... It's funny to me that that only made $60 million, but I also remember seeing it on VHS. I saw it as a rental. It probably made a ton in video sales because such a such a weird title, and to try to get people to go to something like that, it worked slightly because they got into fifth place, but
it is a weird title. I've seen that Matthew Broderick and I don't remember the actor's name for his friend,
Cameron.
Yeah, they're making the rounds right now talking about it 40 years later.
I mean, I have probably watched that movie a good 100 times. Honestly,
that's a lot.
It's on a lot.
It is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It holds up.
It does hold up.
You know, in the top 10 here, I don't recognize too many of those. Ruthless People doesn't ring any bells for me.
Was that a Danny DeVito? Maybe.
I don't know. Legal Eagles, that doesn't ring a bell. Cobra?
That was Sylvester Stallone. I know that.
Oh, Cobra is? Yeah.
Poltergeist 2. That was 2. One is great, but...
Yeah.
Short Circuit, number 10.
Short Circuit was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. But, of course, we were like 8 or whatever. I've seen a little bit of it here and there, and it's just – it's corny. But the robot's really cool.
Yeah.
Johnny Five. Like, he's still – 40 years later, I think he still looks really cool.
Yeah. I wonder if I could pull up – okay, let's see. If I pull up 1986 – okay, so if you just pull up all of 86, Top Gun's still number one, but number two is Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, that's not a knife.
And you still have Karate Kid 2, Back to School, Aliens. Then you get into The Color Purple, Star Trek 4.
When did Crocodile Dundee release? Does it say on there?
September 26th. Oh. So it was after the summer releases.
Wow. So that only had 3 months really in theater. Or not even in theater, but. I mean, how do movies in theaters usually last? Like if they're grossing like a certain amount or percentage or whatever, do they stay longer? Like how does that work? And does it work the same now as it did 40 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good question, because if I always thought if it's doing well, it stays out in theaters for, I mean, I remember like movies like E.T., Jurassic Park, things like that. They were out forever, it seemed.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I always thought that, I remember like the time frame from in theater to VHS or rent or whatever was generally like 6 months.
Oh, now it's, I think it's, I, th- what is it? I bet you could.
Like streaming is almost immediate. Like you can find it somewhere. Somebody has bought the rights to stream it or rent or whatever online. Almost immediate.
Let's see. Timeline between movie release to digital, 45 to 90 days. 45 day is the standard.
Huh.
But blockbusters, highly successful films may stay in theaters longer, pushing digital release 60 to 90 days. 3 months, even at 90 days, 3 months doesn't seem like anything.
Is that from the release date or from the end of theater date?
Between the movie theatrical release to its digital release.
Oh, so yeah, it could be like immediately after if it's a good movie and it's in the theaters for 2+ months, then it's just immediately ready for...
I mean, I remember it seemed like a year. If you saw a movie in summer of... If you saw Back to the Future, out in theaters. Well, hell, it was a summer release. It was still out in theaters when October came around, because we watched it. When I saw it in the theater, it was close to the date in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty positive. This chain.
Pretty in Pink was number 41 on this list. Gung Ho. Oh, man, that's a classic.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. The standard wait in the 80s was 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
Blockbusters took years. Empire Strikes Back took 5 years to officially release on VHS. E.T. took 6 years.
Oh, my God.
But Batman the 1989 Batman, fast-tracked to VHS in a shocking 6 months to capitalize on the Batmania hype.
Hmm.
Huh.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so what you were originally going for to try to figure out if, like, these releases in the middle of summer of 86 compared to, like, the quality, I guess.
Yeah, did they even hold up? I don't even think so.
Hmm.
But then,
well, I mean, if you look forward 40 years from now, is He-Man and Toy Story 5?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at going to 96, which Independence Day is the number one there.
Oh, yeah.
Independence Day, huge. Twister, Mission Impossible, Twister. The Rock, and Nutty Professor are the top five.
Hmm.
I don't know.
The Rock. Is that...
That's where they... Wasn't that Alcatraz?
Oh, okay. Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Nutty Professor was...
Mission Impossible. They're still making those movies.
Yeah. No, I think they're finally done, right? With that recent one.
Yeah.
Which I have not watched.
Yeah, maybe it just, you know.
Subjective.
Subjective, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Pop culture.
That was interesting. Well, shop talk if we want to touch on this for a moment.
There you go.
So I'm still rewiring this old house, this old rental house, and it's been pretty fun. I'm like excited to keep going with it. I felt like I was in over my head at first, but it's relatively simple to like, I mean, it's basically nothing too complex. It's just receptacles or outlets. I'm starting to use the word receptacles because that's actually what the electrical code calls outlets.
Oh yeah.
And then it's, you know, lights and things like that. So I'm just about finished with the second story. Which this house has an attic that I can like walk around in. So I've spent a lot of time in the attic, like, walking and ripping out the old wire. I mean, I'm telling you this. So the house is like 130 years old, more than that, 140 years old, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And over the years, I'm sure electricity was added after the house was built because I don't think electricity existed.
I don't know. How old is
it? It's like 1880 is the house, I think. I don't know when electricity first came out. But anyway, it had the old knob and tube.
Yeah.
But then over the years, people spliced into it with like other kinds of wire. And then they spliced into that with Romex. And then it's a spider web of things going in different directions. And then I found the most ridiculous stuff that I know as like an amateur that things shouldn't be that way. So there's a couple of areas where I took a light fixture down and there's no box or anything up there in the ceiling. It was just like screwed, like the fixture was screwed to the joist or whatever, and the electrical wires were coming through the drywall. So there was nothing like containing it. And there's areas where I found that like wires would come into a box. And then there would be wires going out. And I'm like, okay, well, I know where this is coming from. I know where this is going. Where's this one going? And I'd trace it back and it'd be nothing. And it would just be like capped off.
Oh.
But it would be a live wire just like running across the attic floor or whatever. And I mean, I could just go on and on of like just weird, weird stuff that. So it's been kind of fun to like rip out all the old stuff, and I haven't done too much damage, although it is kind of a pain because if you're like going into your, like in a lot of places, I'm using the same light switch area, but I have to cut out the box because they used a lot of old metal boxes, mm-hmm. and they didn't do any kind of like, typically you have your wire going in and you want it to be stationary. You don't want it to like move around in there. So like modern boxes have a clip in them that you push the wire through and it can't and back it can't out.
Pull out. Yeah.
Older boxes, they typically would use these, I forget what they're called, but they like screw on things.
I've seen those. Yeah.
But these had nothing. It would just be like the hole in the box and the wire fed right through it. And so I'm pulling all the old boxes out and trying to use the same spot. Some places I'm moving some switches around because in a couple areas they had where you open the door and the door would swing to your right and then the light switch would be behind the door.
Oh, man.
So I'm moving those to the left side or opposite side.
Widespread adoption in cities and towns happened in the 1920s, replacing mm-hmm. gas lamps. Mm-hmm. By 1930, nearly 70% of American homes had access to the grid. But then there was the rural push in the 30s and 40s, thanks to FDR's Rural Electrification Administration. Infrastructure reached farms across the country. So you probably, I'd probably say around 1930 to 1940 is probably how old that electric is.
Yeah, so, and the house was already 50 years old by the time the electricity got added, but it was, it is so brittle, and, you know, you like, some of it's still in reasonably good shape, and it still feels like, so it's weird how they made them, like the sheathing on it, it's like a rubbery type of material that surrounds the immediate, like, I guess, copper wire. And then around that is like a, I don't know, it's like a fabric type of material on the outside.
Yeah.
Well, that fabric will basically like disintegrate in your hands if you like twist it around. And then the rubbery stuff is like gooey almost because it's just so old.
Yeah.
And, but I've pulled almost all of that out of the second story, rewired all that. And I've tried to keep up with filming as much as I can, but it's like one of those things where I'm like, I don't know what to film or say. I'm kind of figuring it out as I go along.
Well, like having too much is always, but I've had videos where I've had so much stuff and then I'm like, I only need five. I only need these five videos of the, you know, 25 videos that I shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I might end up turning it into something. It's been, I mean, I think AI was very, very helpful because I started out asking it a lot of questions. It asked me a lot of questions. It was going step by step, you know, one step at a time, explaining things to me. And I've learned a lot. And now I've gotten to where I'm like, because I'm so deep into it and been doing so much research that I'm like looking at electricity and I'll just say, Greg, I know I helped you with this electricity down here, but I know more about it now than I did then. And I would probably do things a little differently.
Oh yeah. We did it all wrong.
Well, typically nowadays they say to run your outlets or your receptacles on a 20 amp breaker with 12 gauge wire. And I think we did yours on a 15 amp breaker with 14 gauge wire. It's not a problem. The only problem that it could be, because I can't, how many breakers do you have down here in this room? Do you remember?
I think there's just one.
So like if you were to have like all this stuff going and that heater and like your TV, it's potentially too much for that heater. The heater definitely,
but the chances of me having all this stuff on at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, but like some of the, like the lamp, like they look like big machines. These arcade machines, they have very little power. It's like
they're not drawing any amps.
No, and like you said, my big tube TV over there is
I don't know.
Draw more power than
that's what I'm thinking.
That and the And that heater over there.
Those would be the main draws, yeah.
They're the main draws. Everything else is...
And I tried to go with, like, code or best practice for what, like, new houses are built with now. And the reason why is because I don't remember if I showed you that receptacle that, like, melted out on me because Jesse had plugged a heater into it and I guess left it going. I don't know how long, like, if it was days and days or whatever it was, but the receptacle, like, melted out inside the wall.
Oh, wow.
And you really couldn't see as much damage from the outside of it. But it's just, and I've learned that, like, grades of receptacles matter, too. Like, just like anything else that you buy, the cheaper is, like, worse quality. And if you buy, like, the slightly higher,
I think I got the mid-grade version of all of them down here.
I know whenever I did my basement, I put in, like, the cheapest.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's only 25 cents for these outlets. Why would I pay $1.25 when I get them? But anyway, I don't know. It's that kind of stuff that I think... I've learned a lot about now in the last several weeks that I'm like, oh, man, this is actually really interesting stuff. If I had it to do over again, like, I would not mind being an electrician, like a residential electrician. I think it's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
That's my shop talk. What do you got?
I don't have anything. I talked about my garden, how all my seeded tomato plants aren't coming in like I want them to, but
they're still alive though.
They're
right?
Alive. It's just been so hot too. Tomatoes like the heat, yeah. but they also, you know, they like water too.
Yeah.
But when it's too hot, it's almost like they won't. I've noticed with tomatoes in the past, you can have green tomatoes, but if it's really hot, they won't turn red. It needs to cool down for them to actually change color. So
I bought two at the, the plant sale at Crest Farm in Hillsboro a couple months ago or whatever now. And those are the ones that they're like 4 feet tall and they have like multiple tomatoes on them currently.
Yeah.
But they were already big whenever I got them.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with the ones that I bought. They're doing really well, but
I don't know. They'll probably take off.
I mean, I've had luck growing from seed before, so I don't see why it would be any different.
Well, last year you were getting tomatoes in like September and October, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it was like up until frost you were getting tomatoes. Yeah. So it's, I mean, we're only in early June.
Yeah. So. True. That's true. So, no, I don't really have anything. I need to do stuff, but I have not.
All right, well, I guess that's everything. We touched on everything on our agenda.
We've done it. We yep. did it again. Have we come to a decision what our next a field trip will be?
No, I don't think we have. I would be okay to go next week if you want to go. I just don't know what location.
I don't know. Maybe not next week. We'll figure it out when we go next time. But yeah, we gotta do that. I think I said something because I can't remember why. Oh, I'll have kids in July and August.
Right. Yeah. You said June. We need to make it happen, I guess.
Well, we'll see.
So. All right. Well, thank you all for listening and watching and like and subscribe and all those things.
Do it. We'll see you next time.